All right, now I got to give you a little bit more information because I tell you, I messed up a little bit there. There's a little bit of info that I left out. I mentioned to you that in the laboratory playroom, a caregiver was always present. Now, this is the part that I neglected to share with you. That caregiver wasn't there just looking and just making sure that the children all stayed safe. The caregiver was also playing with the baby. All right. So think about that as you, you know, do your calculations, determining how many steps the baby would have taken in 1 hour, how many steps on average. You want to stay with the same number that you gave? Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. No problem. Some of you changing a bit. No problem. So here we go. On average, the babies took in 1 hour's time 2,400 steps. Some of you said 800. And I know you're thinking, man, in 1 hour, ooh, that sounds kind of high, but it sounds realistic too. And 800 was sure closer to the reality than 300, but that was way off too. 2,400 steps. And check this out, because there is more. By the way, to help put that in perspective, 2,400 steps per hour on average. That's roughly the distance of 8 American football fields. Check this out. There's still more. In the situations where the caregiver did not play with the baby, caregiver was there but did not play with the baby. What happened with the steps? The number of steps, the average number of steps in 1 hour. Did they go up? Did they go down? If they went down, did they go down significantly? Say 12%. If they went up, did the number of steps go up? Say 15%. Would you say probably remained about the same, whether the caregiver was playing with the babies or not? Well, ladies and gentlemen, would you believe that when the caregiver was there but was not playing with the baby, the average number of steps almost doubled to 4,000 steps an hour. They went from 2,400, and this is average now, 2,400 steps per hour when the caregiver was playing with them, to 4,000 when the caregiver was not playing with them. They just got busier when they were on their own. They moved even more. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, these children are something else. And so I think that one of the great lessons learned when we're talking about babies and movement, and especially when it comes to our young infants spending time with us and us spending time with our young infants, especially for those of you who are with the infants quite a bit of time at home, with the infants quite a bit of time, you don't necessarily have to spend 98% of that time engaging your child. Sometimes after you spent an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours with the infant. And again, we were talking about 12 to 19 months here. You spent that good time with your precious child or your precious children. But now it really is time for you to do something else. I mean, you really do need to get to some other responsibility. You don't necessarily need to give up taking care of that responsibility, whether it has to do with your job that you're working from home, your business that you're running from home, some chores, some household chores that you really need to get on. You don't necessarily have to give all of that up or just put it on the back burner until it's time for you to be in bed for the night. But instead of going to bed, getting your rest at the way your body, your mind, your soul need that rest, you say, okay, now that my infant is in bed, I can go ahead and do these other things I need to do. No, you may not need to put it off like that. It may be a matter of just saying, okay, I played with you for 2 hours now, and I've really enjoyed that playtime that we've had together, but I need to do some other things now, and so you're going to need to entertain yourself. Just make sure that the child has a designated area with some toys and things that the child can use to entertain him or herself or to entertain themselves. And you're close enough that something comes up, you can get to them quickly. But a matter of just simply saying, okay, you're going to need to entertain yourself for a while now. And a lot of children will go ahead and honor that and entertain themselves. And remember, they're not necessarily just going to shut down because they're entertaining themselves. These children went from an average of 2,400 steps per hour when they were being entertained by the caregiver to 4,000 steps per hour when they were entertaining themselves. And so something good was still coming out of it. So have no fear. Have no fear that your child is just going to become a zombie if you're not there with your child. Wow, does that taste good? I mean, you hear that sound. What does it bring to your mind? Do you see yourself in a jacuzzi? Just letting that water be pushed to your body to relax you for a while? Do you see yourself by a stream? Just enjoying nature, the great and beautiful outdoors, and you're just relaxing, just enjoying it all. Do you see yourself drinking a nice, clean, refreshing cup of water? I'm telling you something about that. Whew! Don't go to sleep now. You know we're at work. You know you got to be in class in about 10 minutes. But I'm just saying, you hear that, and it just seems to be something positive. One of the images that comes to my mind is getting someplace and pouring some nice, clean, fresh water that I can just take my time and enjoy. Well, one thing that we know for sure, we are all going to always need water. Here's the question. Will the water always be safe for us? That's something that I'm looking into today, and we'll follow through this weekend. Just feel free to check online at speakingwith.com. to see which other day I'll be discussing our water. Popular science is helping us explore this whole issue of what's happening with our water. And one of the ways that this exploration is being conducted is by taking a look at laws that will impact the way our water is handled, that will in turn impact our lives. In fact, our health, our well-being. I'm going to be giving you an overview of what is happening with regards to the Clean Water Act. I'll give you some details on that, an overall detailed look at it this weekend. But let me share with you some of what's at stake when it comes to some of the various states and what changes to the Clean Water Act might mean. Let's start with the Peach State, Georgia. State has 7.7 million acres of wetlands. Would you have guessed that? I wouldn't have. 7.7 million acres of wetlands. And ladies and gentlemen, that just the size of Georgia's wetlands is roughly the size of the entire state of Maryland. That's a lot of wetland. Roughly the size of the entire state of Maryland. The ecosystems in these wetlands stand to lose federal protection under the proposed changes to the Clean Water Act. And since most people in Georgia drink surface water, increased pollution in these waterways would directly affect humans. Would directly affect us humans. The new parameters of the law put drinking water for 3.5 million people in the metro Atlanta area at risk. 3.5 million people at risk. Lake Lanier provides potable water for more than 1 million people in the capital region. The area around the lake is developing at one of the fastest rates in the state, meaning more treated sewage, fertilizer, and heavy metals flow into the hundreds of intermittent streams that feed Lake Lanier. More treated sewage, fertilizer, and heavy metals flow into hundreds of intermittent streams that feed Lake Lanier. Intermittent streams, which usually cease their flow for part of the year, are not protected under proposed changes. Remember now, these intermittent streams feed Lake Lanier. They flow into Lake Lanier. They're not protected under proposed changes, and so their waters can be polluted, which means that eventually, since they flow into Lake Lanier will be polluted. The stricter clean water rule does not make urban expansion impossible, but it requires companies to invest in infrastructure that keep pollutants contained, treated, and out of waterways. The Trump administration is working to change how our water is treated by getting rid of the Clean Water Rule, coming up with the Clean Water Act. Isn't it great how people come up with euphemisms to make us think they're doing something good for us when they know they're doing something harmful? They're calling it the Clean Water Act, and they're making it much easier for companies and others to pollute our waters, including